Imagine hitting all of your goals without chasing every single lead in town. That's what Erica Sizemore is doing in Raleigh. She's gotten really narrow by focusing on the right clients, building a 90% referral business, and creating trust with them. It's working for her in a huge way. And she's going to tell you how you can do the same, how you can define your ideal client, how you can better connect with them, and how you can get a ton of business from a small group of people.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you so much for choosing to hang out with us and do what we do, which is talk to elite people who are doing elite things. And I want you to hear something. You want to talk about elite? How about being the only producing agent on the team and you're going to do a commissions of over $1 million this year? How? Because you figured out who your clients are. You are in a flow and a relationship with the right people, making $1 million. And that's what Erica is going to do again. You made $1 million in 2024. You're going to make $1 million in 2025. And you're just, I mean, come on, you're getting after it. So tell us who you are and where you are and a little bit about your business, Erica.
Awesome. Great to be here, James. Thanks for having me. I'm Erica Sizemore. I'm based in Raleigh, North Carolina. So we serve the Triangle and dabble in other places, but generally in the middle here in North Carolina, where it is the best place to live, as far as I'm concerned, fully biased there. And out here, as you said, you know Carrie and Raleigh really well. And I have an assistant who is basically a client liaison EA. I'm going to cut my, just as we're getting on here, my light's hitting me. So hold on one second. I should have done this right before we got
It's
on.
All good to see. This is what we do. This is what happens.
Yeah, look,
sometimes
there we go.
Sometimes we look at it and go, we got to fix our light.
Erica,
your lighting looks great. You were killing it.
Oh, thank you.
It's you. And then tell us about your admin team.
Yeah. So my admin, highly paid, highly talented. She came on a year and a half ago. Her name's Melissa. So she's a client. Take my arm off, use it, come back and, you know, give them hugs and make them feel good. Do everything that I can't do when I can't be there. So she's great. And then we have TC does all of our transaction coordination. And we have just recently added a part-time marketing person to help with brochures, things like that. And that's pretty much it. Just this year and at this point in the year, we're trying to hire and have started with a showing assistant part-time just to see how we can get some leverage there. But that's it. So
it'll get you off the road a little bit, Erica. Get you off the road. You can stay in the lane with your sellers and that'll help a lot. And you're right, by the way, y'all, Triangle is great.
Yeah, it is great.
Erica, I met my wife in the Triangle. She used to live off Durant Road. Met my wife in the Triangle. Our daughter Naomi was born at Rex Hospital right there in Raleigh. So I love the Triangle. It's a great place. Yeah, and I'm glad you're having such a successful business. But I think we have to really, truly understand why. And you've heard Gary talk about this and others. You know, the way that you get big is you get really small. The way you have a very successful business is you get very narrow. And that can be a tough concept for people to understand. But it seems like you figured it out because your database is pretty narrow in order to lead to the business that you're doing. Tell us about how you kind of figured that out and you got to this narrow focus in your database.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'll start with is that very, very early on in my career, I started in 2019, I employed a coach who their whole premise was know your client. I have a marketing background and I understood that and it resonated with me. And so for 6 months, we spent time working on who my client was, who I wanted to work with, who I like working with, why. And to the point ad nauseum, you know, what do they look like? How much money they make? What are they doing? What are their pain points? Right. And trying to internalize that as much as possible. And as I like to say, I went deep, not wide. So in that same respect, you know, geographically, where did I look at for leads? Where did I, you know, prospect? If I was going to, which I only did a few times, at call a FSBO. I only called a FSBO in the neighborhood I wanted to sell in. I didn't call it anywhere else. So, you know, early on, that's what I did. I just kept digging in and digging in. But it was because I understood what they wanted and related to it, even the style of person they wanted to work with, that I could kind of keep digging in on what their avatar was, what their brand was, who they were. And then that helped me to serve their needs better. They became raving fans, refer business. So today, you know, between clients, past clients, sphere, and broker referrals, we're about 90% referral. And the only thing we do for the other 10% is pick up a yard sign call or someone visit our website, who knows really where they landed, why they got to us. But that's been wonderful to see that organic growth year after year, a few more percent every year.
The Triangle is a big place. Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill is big. And I've met a lot of people. I've worked in that market for a long time, as we discussed, that would sell all over the place, that they're going to Durham, then they're going to Raleigh, then they're going to Wake Forest, then they're going to, do you do that? Or are you more specific into a small geographic area?
I love to reference the Pareto rule. I think it's true for a lot of things. So 80% of my business is in what I call like the Route 1 corridor, Wake County. It's the biggest county. We do serve other markets because we have relocating people. And frankly, I love selling the Triangle. So I love telling them about it. But the reason I love it is because I like to figure out their niche, you know, their psychographic, who they wanted to be and where they wanted to be there, that lifestyle component, because it matters to me so much. So we do dabble in the market as far as Durham, Chapel Hill, and all the surrounding, but primarily we know and are indoctrinated into the Wake County Raleigh seat. And so when folks are coming in for work, that's often where they're coming, and it's the largest market. So we try not to drive everywhere around, not because we can't, but because we think we know the neighborhoods so intimately well. And my one assistant, she's lived here her whole life. So, you know, between the two of us, we've got, you know, decades and decades of experience here to share with our clients.
All right. So you wanted to go deep, not wide, in the database. And the way you did that was kind of figuring out who your ideal target client is. Mm-hmm. So will you walk us through how someone could do that, how they could figure that out so that they could dominate this? It is a farm, right? It's just not a geographic farm. It's a it's a different type of farm, but it's still a farm. So walk us through how you figured out who your ideal target client was.
A couple of key things first to start, and I think this is where anyone wants to start this from, is first take a hard look at who you are, because you can't choose a farm, let's say a demographic, a psychographic farm, without it being authentic to you, without it being natural. You know, don't work outside of where you feel comfortable. So for me, having a financial background, I definitely love a good spreadsheet. So that's people in engineering and tech, and we have a lot of sciences here. So, and those folks like that about me. And so on the front end, I think, okay, you're a broker, you're trying to figure this out for yourself. What is it that you like? What is it that you bring to your client experience that will matter to them? So that has to come first. That authenticity has to be there. And then, you know, you weave it into everything. So part of my own avatar, who I am, and I've done some brand work on that to just to see that it's affirmed. So Sally Hogshead has a great book, and she defines who you are, and mine's the maestro, and the maestro is up on stage and conducting the orchestra. But there's a confidence factor. There's a steadying piece to that, where you are running the orchestra, and the orchestra has, you know, 25, 35 instruments, whatever it is going on at the same time. But there is something that's very constant. And that's the idea of what I want to give my clients. So when I think about how I'm going to serve them, what are their pain points? We're talking about those things. It's managing expectations. It's making sure that they understand I'm listening so that we can be directing them in that way. So when you're starting that process, think first about yourself. Think second about the people that you've had the most fun serving. Well, who has not felt like work and why? Because it's not a dollar-based decision. It's not, oh, I want to sell luxury. That's something in and of itself. You know, you have people that have more money and they want to invest in their real estate. They're almost listening for certain things in your understanding of who they are, that you cannot fake it. It has to be real. So again, it's first who you are, second, who you're seeing yourself working with, and then start defining it. You know, where did they live? How much money do they make? Were they married? Were they unmarried? Do they have kids? Are they LGBTQ? Are they, you know, whatever that looks like. And then try to sit in their problems for just a moment. And this is our coaching process. You know, they kept asking each week these questions, drill down. So when you get to the problem-based questions, that should be how you're communicating your value to every client that you serve, whether that's on your website, in your brochures, how you speak when you meet someone in the grocery store, if they say something about you, because once you understand their problem, their core problem, they will start to trust you because you'll earn that with them because you're solving the thing that they haven't even articulated yet. For example, many of my clients are going to want to understand how they're moving between assets, their real estate asset and other assets, why it makes sense to do it at whatever time it is, and give them the satisfaction that it both serves their lifestyle, but also serves their wallet. And so we're working through that and then synthesizing it in a way that they're busy people. They are already too, you know, up to here with everything else, that selling and buying a house is not the thing for them. So we're constantly coming in and saying, how are we going to make it easier? Because that's exactly what they want. Even in my branding, we don't reach out all the time on purpose, because if it's me and I'm a busy professional too, I'm delete, delete, unsubscribe, unsubscribe. My clients get something from us quarterly, an email that says about the market, but it's real, it's data driven. They actually want it. You know, if I'm just getting my daily update on whatever house just sold, that doesn't really do anything for me as an owner, if I'm my client. So we're thinking about it through the entire service process. It starts from the beginning, who you are and who they are, but it goes all the way to the end of what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Okay, it's really good. So I wrote down, you got to be authentic to you. In other words, whatever group you want to support needs to be something that's in alignment with who you are.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, who are they? Mm-hmm. And so you know your people, and the triangle is great, right? There's more PhDs per capita in the triangle than anywhere else on earth. So
I'm not the smartest person in the room most days.
In the triangle, you're probably not, right? Because you've got every pharmaceutical company is there. All the major tech companies are there, and you've got three universities there. You got a lot of smart people.
Yes.
But you have to understand, you're still a spreadsheet person, and a lot of them are going to be spreadsheet people.
Yes.
So you've got to understand how to communicate in some way. But the key that I wrote down was you're anticipating their challenges, their problems.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that where our value comes, is anticipating that? And the only way you can really do that is if you truly know who your people are and what they want.
Yes, yes, exactly. And the moment that you're not with them in that space, they're lost. That's how you create the raving fan, because you anticipate. We answer questions in our buyer consultation before they even get to the question, because we know the questions that they want to ask so well. We often start a call or an intro, a coffee, and within the first 10 minutes, we've hit on those key things immediately before they even get to them, because we know that's their burning questions. I loved it when we were at Mega Camp in August, because the one speaker said, what are the questions everyone wants to know? How much it costs? This was the guy that sells the pools. How much does it cost? What should I do not do? You know, be real and be honest with them. And so by doing that and them hearing the things that matter to them in that process, they will start to open up to you, trust you, love you, share you with others. And that's
it how totally builds trust. I feel like you have people. Have you had people say, Erica, I feel like you really understand what we're looking for? I feel like you really get us. Have you had people say that to you?
Absolutely. That some say, if you don't want us to see it, we won't see it at a house. They'll say, husband, wife, oh, you know us better than we even know ourselves. We don't need to talk about this anymore. You're hearing us. I have my clients understand that I'm incredibly honest through the process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's a part of me that wants to almost create their little headspace in the back of my mind as we're touring any house. While I'm looking for cracks, I'm looking for other things, I'm thinking, what did they say two meetings ago? And how does that matter here? And constantly refeeding them that. I had a teacher client last year who said that was one of her favorite things that I did, was circle back constantly to what they had shared, because it gave them the confidence, which is what we want to give our clients, the confidence in the decision that they're making.
So and you're taking notes. I'm sorry, Erica, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No.
Well, you're taking notes and you're paying attention. That's something. How many units will you sell this year?
Somewhere around 60, I believe.
All right. So you're doing over a house a week. You've got a good price point. You're going to make $1 million gross. The only way you could possibly do that as the only producer is if your people trust you.
Yes.
Because when it comes for a seller, they've got to trust you on the price so that it sells. When it comes to a buyer, they've got to trust that there aren't 35 options, there's 5 options. And so you've got to build trust. And it seems like that you're doing a great job on building that. What advice would you give to those that are not, don't have that same trust level? In other words, the seller is not necessarily listening to them on price, or the buyer thinks they need to see 30 homes. What advice would you give about truly building trust with a client?
Well, trust me, they don't always do exactly what I said.
Sure,
okay, let's be real
right.
here.
Yeah, right.
But giving that information up front, being direct and sharing, I don't agree with you, this is why, but we can try it your way as long as we have a plan, is in my mind very, very important to start with. We have one client on the market right now that I very much disagreed with her price. And I said, this, you can play this, but this is exactly how we're going to respond and what data we're going to look at to prove that it's not the market, it's the house and the price. And we went through that on the front end. Going through it on the front end will save you so much on the back.
Especially if you're a spreadsheet person. I think this is real quick, Erica. Like, if you're with a data-driven spreadsheeter, which is what that seller probably was, right? So they've got their data to back up their belief, and you're the expert in the market. Will you walk me through that one about what that conversation was like with that seller? Because, you know, when you've got someone who is a data person, they can get pretty firm in that what they're looking at, they believe to be accurate.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So yesterday we were in a listing appointment, and someone who is a licensed seller, but not an agent, was listed for sale by owner and wanted to talk to us. And he had and his wife run lots and lots of numbers, and they haven't had what they're looking to have in their sales. And when we were discussing it, I didn't run the numbers before I got there, because that's a follow-up. In my mind, you cannot price a house before you walk in the door to give them the full understanding of what the house is, how it lives, why it lives that way, and what that means to somebody. So that's the art and the science of what we do, right? We can look at the spreadsheet, but then we have to color in who we're working with as buyers and what they want and what they're willing to pay for and why, which the seller doesn't understand that. So one is, in this case, we will follow up with more data, but we address the fact with him that in addition to his data, there was other things on the other side that mattered, which are the economic outlook. So we reviewed that. We are, as Gary also says, the real estate economist for our clients. So, you know, what that means for them. Explain their buyer, I think, is very important for a listing. That will differentiate you, not just the numbers, but try to understand and be aware of who their buyer is, because that buyer will be looking for certain things and also have a willingness to pay based on what their expectation is for themselves, their home. There's an avatar to the buyer for every listing as well. So my client, who is very potential client, very data driven, we will give him back the data, but we're going to provide context to it. So one example, you know, yes, your house is not updated. You've painted it and it looks great. Wonderful. It shows really well. But what you're still going to have is someone come in, think they're going to have to touch all these spaces, and what that is the equivalent value to them. And we walk through the numbers of that so they can see how it might be distracting or detracting from what the value is in the sale of it to that person that they're not able to bring in right now.
Erica, you know your people. That's the bottom line. I can tell you really get them. So that was a process. You had to go figure that out.
And be confident in the process if that's who you are. That's what someone's hiring you for. If you're caring, be caring in it. Explain it to them in a caring way. If you're confident, you use confidence and data. And there's just, it's just bringing, I joke because I drive a specific car, not because I just love it. I do love my BMW, but it does send the right message too. It's an aggressive car. And trust me, the color is there for it as well. I mean, every single thing to the candle I gave Gary, it smells like a certain smell because it's how I should be with my client. And I want them to feel about our relationship and who I am. And I think if you spend the time on the front end of your business or wherever you are in it now, whether you're a new agent or not, you will find yourself gravitating more and more to those people if you just spend a little more time thinking about them and who they are and what they want, what they like, how they like it. And that will create raving fans.
True story. Everyone wants to know what color is the Beamer.
Oh, it's like a dark blue black. It's
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Sounds fancy. You are on purpose with purpose, which is what we talk about all the time.
Yes.
What's something that you think other agents should consider to do the same so that they can be on purpose with people? What's something that you've learned that they should know too?
Oh, well, I have a do. I have something they can do tomorrow.
Yeah, tell me. Let's go. What is it?
Start this. Pick their 5 favorite clients, or maybe the ones that have given them referrals, and ask them a couple questions. What adjectives would you use to describe me? What things did I do the best in my experience with you? And can you describe someone you think that I would work well with in the business? And just listen to the answers. I did this years ago. I got answers and adjectives for myself that I didn't even think existed. So it really started to change how I kind of presented that as well, like understanding what they wanted and what their interpretation is, because we don't see ourselves the same as others do. So that is the one thing I'll say. If you can do something tomorrow, go to your top 5 clients and have them describe you to them in a, you know, no judgment fashion.
And then how does one figure out what their problems are so that you can anticipate? What advice would you give around figuring that out?
My father-in-law, who started a financial business in the 70s, he said what he did to start his business is the same thing I'm going to answer, is that he went down and had coffee with people and asked them questions. He didn't ask them for business. He said, what would you do in my case? Or what problems do you think happen? And what questions do you ask yourself when you're dealing with this? The best people to ask are the client. Who does that look like? Ask them what their input is on what it should look like and what things you should do. In my role, what do you think would mean something to someone like you? In my role, what is it that you see that's missing so that we can bring it to our people? That's, if you don't already know, that is how you get started. And you're going to create this like supporter network of someone that feels vested in you, almost like a board of personal advisors. If you go to those couple clients or those people and try to have them explain it to you and then write it down. I have like Google Docs with, you know, copious pages of notes on all my clients and all this, you know, from years. And every couple years I build on and add more notes to it.
Erica, you're great. This has been really good. Congratulations on your success. The lesson is super simple. The way you get big is you get small. Right? You want a big business, you get really narrow, anticipate, be on purpose with purpose, and you'll be fine. Erica, thank you. We appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much, James. Great to meet you.
Thanks, Erica. That's great. So here's your next step. Pick your 5 favorite clients and ask those questions. And then figure out where your closing's coming from so you can tighten your footprint. Figure out how you can better connect. If this moved you forward, share it with somebody so that they can get moved forward too. And then come hang out with us a bit more. We are together every single morning inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. So if you're not a member, please join. You can jump on our daily morning mastermind call. It's really easy. Go to jamesdshaw.com and click join our free daily call. And finally, let's connect on the socials as well, at jamesdshaw on Instagram. Thanks to Erica for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.